Is Mars populated by killer starfish? Can Ryan Reynolds or Jake Gyllenhaal save us from said starfish? We'll answer all those questions and more. Get into the Justice League trailer today on Sci-Fi Weekly.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Sci-Fi Weekly.
Hey guys, welcome back to Sci-Fi Weekly on the Popcorn Talk. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be talking about life today. I am joined, as always, by Jesse Klein.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Super excited to talk about this movie.
Yeah, it gives me life, you might say.
Oh, it does. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
Haley O'Connor, unfortunately, could not join us today. She's a little under the weather. But you can send her your best at Haley O'Connor on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Remember, use two Y's. Because that's how her name is spelled.
But and also, because if you don't, you are not spelling it correctly. We just made her more sick. We took away from her power.
Somewhere out there, Haley is just like, ow.
Who did that?
What? Voodoo doll. Ow. Yeah. My soul. All right, guys. Thanks so much. As I said, we're going to be getting into a later show. We're going to talk about Life, the latest movie starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds. Mm-hmm. Among a very solid cast
really
built around
cast,
them.
Yeah.
We're going to give our opinions and break down what was in the movie, what the science fiction was from it. Before that, there's a lot of news to break down, and there's only one speed we can do it at, and that's ludicrous speed.
Ludicrous speed! Go!
Robert Rodriguez has been slated to direct the Escape from New York reboot. He said he would have time right after he directs Machete Kills in space. That's a great joke that you wrote there, Jesse.
Zach, that's not a joke. It's the real title.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Well, I've got some words. The new Spider-Man Homecoming posters came out this week. In it, you can see the webhead doing some typical spider things. Climbing a wall, hanging out at the docks, listening to music, and a Stark Tech jacket, while being all angsty. Did I say spider things? I meant teenager things. I get spiders and teenagers confused sometimes. It's a very weird, very specific disease.
Arachnatinia, buh.
Yeah, that's the one. It was named after me.
According to The Hollywood Reporter, Carrie Fisher's death did not change The Last Jedi. So I guess the original plan for Admiral Jedi was to break my heart every time she's on screen. I know it's late, but seriously, fuck you, 2016.
I'm still angry about it. Power Rangers is holding strong in the box office. I don't know how, because they completely screwed up Goldar. I mean, look at him. Okay, that's not what Goldar is supposed to look like. He looks like a melting snot booger. Okay, I mean, how do you screw this up? It's simple. Goldar is a wolf crow covered in gold plate armor with huge wings, and he lives on the moon. It's simple. Look at him. Like that dumb puppet looks so much cooler than the melty snot Goldar. Look how that dumb that puppet is. And I would rather see that in a movie in 2017 than melty
so
snot Goldar.
Thank you, computer Steven, today. Well, they released a new teaser image from the It remake coming soon. The teaser features the now iconic image of Pennywise in the gutter. And I apologize for showing you this if you were ever planning on sleeping again.
Yeah, terrifying.
What can I do? I mean, we had
to show
you. You're watching.
You.
Or you're listening, in which case, we've spared you.
Everything floats down here. It is a really good movie. If you haven't seen the original, it's so good. Chris Pratt recently took to Facebook to respond to questions regarding the quality of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And I quote, "On May 5th, the greatest movie in the history of movies is coming. There has never been and will never again be a movie like this. Seriously. Ever heard of Citizen Kane? We're much better. Seriously, our movie just tested at over 1 million points. Rotten Tomatoes already has it at 234% fresh. Hashtag GOTG Volume 2 will win every movie award and about 39 Olympic gold medals in swimming, gymnastics, the skiing event with guns, X Games, snowmobiling, and everything. It will win the World Cup and about 7 Super Bowl rings. Sorry, Tom Brady. This movie will fry your brains and lift your spirits. James Gunn will be elected president of the world. They will add the faces of the Guardians to Mount Rushmore for sure. We're gonna get a planet. May 5th will become a national holiday. Everyone will get pregnant. Candy will fall from the sky. Global warming will stop. Dinosaurs will come back to life, which, unlike some movies might tell you, is actually a really, really good thing. Because they won't flip out and kill people. Instead, they'll be your awesome pets. So basically, get tickets as soon as you can. Don't be the only person on the planet that doesn't see this movie. Humbly, Star-Lord.
Best movie of all time!
That was the word equivalent of the air horn.
Fun fact, guys, that's actually a monologue in the film itself.
I bet it is.
What are you doing, Chris? I'm distracting you.
In other news, Chris Pratt is now Donald Trump's new speechwriter. Boom! Political right in there. Everyone likes bragging.
All right, hit the emergency brake. We're done here. We're done here on that joke, Jesse.
All right, sorry.
Let's slow it down to talk about the latest movie starring a bunch of, let's see, there's a team of a cybernetic man, mm-hmm.
Robot Batman,
yeah. A Greek goddess,
a
dude who's dressed in armor and runs really fast because of science.
Water Batman. Fast Batman.
Oh, I see. And then Batman, Water Batman, Female Batman.
Robot Batman.
Robot Batman. Superman. Who's like Super Batman?
Yeah, he's just
because he's mad.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
but let's take a quick look at the trailer.
Oh, is that the wrong song? Sorry, guys.
Yeah, yes.
My bad.
Computer, you're confusing two similar.
If you
codes.
Can find them, they will be the B team.
I would love it if the Justice League went around in a van.
I would watch that movie.
Yeah.
A lot sooner than I'd watch this movie.
Yeah.
Shade.
A lot of shade. Are you talking about the color distillation?
You, me, the others. There's an attack coming from far away.
Not coming, Bruce. It's already here.
I would love if she said Ben instead of Bruce yeah. there.
The others. Where are they?
Arthur Curry.
This is so Zack Snyder.
It's on him.
Organic and biomechatronic body parts. He's a cyborg.
You should probably move.
How does Wonder Woman know the word cyborg?
Whoever you're looking for, it's not me. He's a Batman.
They said the Age of Heroes would never come again.
It has to.
Alright.
What are your superpowers again?
I'm rich.
You're not supposed to say that out loud.
My turn. Come
together.
Everyone pose. Shall we?
I love that.
It's
again.
Good to see you playing well with others again. Just like a bat. I dig it. Maybe temporary.
I hate that.
Yeah. I hate that the King of Atlanta says I dig it.
But, like, here's the thing. Like, I but here's the thing. Like, that trailer.
Yeah.
And I don't mean, like, this is my initial reaction to that trailer is, that looks fun. That looks like a fun movie. And, like, I kind of like that the King of Atlanta, like.
I hate that the King of Atlanta says I dig it.
It plays against, like, what were his visual, the visual of his character.
Yeah, and but also, like, the background of his character and who his character is.
Well, we don't know what this universe version of him, because it's clearly a different.
Yeah, so if he's, like, a cool surfer guy.
Then
it's fine. If like, Aquaman is a cool surfer that got bit by a radioactive shark and now has a trident.
Well, okay, so if he is the king at this point.
Yeah.
We have to assume he's because he has the trident.
Yeah.
We don't know what his backstory is yet, because the Aquaman movie doesn't come out for like 2 years.
Yeah.
But if they started him as a surfer, and that's when he finds out after being growing up surfing,
yeah,
then it fits.
It does.
What that doesn't fit with is like the tone of movies that have led up to it.
No,
for better
or
worse, it is totally, totally inconsistent.
Yeah, like that Batman is not the same Batman from Batman versus Superman,
and that's fine because I've tried to pretend that I haven't seen most of that movie.
Yeah. And I wasn't joking where I was like, Lady Bat, like, everyone is just Batman in this movie. Like, it just feels like a team of Batmans. And most noticeably, Super Batman is not in the trailer.
Well, that's good, though.
I think so, too.
Yeah, because if, like, maybe Warner Brothers is learning.
Maybe.
They're learning from, like, maybe the big third act reveal shouldn't be in our first trailer.
You keep it. Well, also, it might be that, like, Superman learned that Darkseid's mother's name is Martha, and so they're friends now.
They're buddies.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, obviously we've heard a lot till now about that they have taken to heart, at least, that the reactions to the previous two movies, to Man of Steel and to Dawn of Justice, mm-hmm. were, this is super dark. Like, we don't. And, like, there's no levity to this, and it's ruining the characters.
That darkness worked for the Batman universe. And
yes.
And that's why it was so good, is that Christopher Nolan's Batman, the tone fit the character. But Superman should not be breaking people's necks and killing people.
Even beyond, like, I don't even, like, I don't, that was never an issue for me with Man of Steel. Like, that part, I understood what they were trying to do there. But the tone of, like, everything around that.
Yeah.
If it had been light, if Man of Steel had been light up until then.
It would have made a lot more sense.
It would have, like, felt a lot more of a heartbreaking moment, as opposed to just like another dark thing in this line of dark of like this movie that is like everything is terrible.
When Pa Kent kills himself for no reason.
Yeah.
But it's cool to see the Prada Men. Like, that's really cool. I'm really excited.
The Prada Men?
Prada Men?
Prada Men?
Yeah.
Please explain.
Those are like the servants of Darkseid. They're like the weird winged like mech beasts.
Oh, okay. The things that we saw in like the.
Yeah.
I don't know, the portal world that we went into.
Yeah, exactly. And we saw them in this as well. It's cool to see them on the big screen, like, getting some time. there's a cool one in Sinister Six. So the Cyborg CG, it's a trailer. So, like, a lot of people are really upset about the Cyborg CG. It looks really, really bad, especially if you watch it in HD on your laptop this close to your face. But it's a trailer, so no one needs to freak out about that. Usually trailer CG is not anywhere near as good as the actual movie CG. We get a Batmech. Pretty sweet Batmech.
Batmech. Yeah, I mean,
It's such a Zack Snyder is so good at putting trailers together.
Yeah.
Like, the Man of Steel trailer is still one of my top five trailers ever made.
That's why this trailer looks like... I say this trailer looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But the thing is, this... I remember feeling much the same way after I saw the first trailer for Dawn of Justice.
Yeah.
So I don't... Not that that trailer looked fun, but it looked good.
It looked really good.
And this and so I don't know that this is going to be good, because I was like,
you've burned us so many times. It's not, DC.
Like, there's some beautiful shots and there's some cool action sequences there, but they could shoot this on an iPhone and I'd be fine with it if it had a good story.
Yeah,
And that's what was missing from Dawn of Justice. It's like the
a good story and a consistency of tone and character.
Yeah, like, I need a full complex like arc for all of these characters, and the big like look, the inevitable comparison for this movie will be Avengers.
Yeah,
it's the only other team up movie that we are.
And the thing is, like, the Avengers is not a perfect movie, but the Avengers is always the Avengers in that movie. It always has the same tone. Tony Stark is always Tony Stark in those movies. Like, everyone plays who they are very well. And that's the big thing we had with Donna Justice. Not our secretary, Donna Justice, but Donna of Justice.
We appreciate everything you're doing, Donna.
She keeps the coffee hot and the papers printed. And I think that's what we're kind of worried about here, is now it's not just two big characters. It's going to be five. And like, how are you going to feed all those mouths?
Yeah, and that's very difficult, especially because half of them haven't been established. Like, we see stuff like Barry Allen visiting his father in jail.
Yes.
We don't know those people yet, so we have to establish them. We have to establish who Arthur Curry is and why he says things like dig it. We have to do the heavy lifting of that while also telling a clean story.
And establishing the villain as well.
Yeah, who we also just like have the vaguest hint of from Dawn of Justice. So all of that's going to be interesting to see how they build it and how it plays out. And like, I'm curious to see how they approach things like the science behind Barry Allen. Like, what is the origin story for him? How are they going to justify in this world stuff like Wonder Woman and Aquaman? Are they just mythical beings? Like, she talks about the Age of Heroes, which is like where she comes from, like the Age of Hercules, and these. This is the next, like, those were the superheroes of old. And I love that as a concept. It's a way cool to look concept. At the world. But how are they going to play that against this more science based Flash, Cyborg, Batman?
Yeah, we'll have to see.
So we'll see. All right, let's jump into life.
I would like to jump into life. What are we doing with our life?
let's first do spoiler-free reactions.
Yeah.
And then we'll tell you guys when we're going to talk about anything that we feel would be a spoiler.
Yeah, I would say just reaction. This is a very by-the-numbers science fiction thriller. It's supported by some really good writing and some amazing, and the cast is amazing. There isn't a loose end in the cast at all. It's not gonna surprise you out of your boots, but it is. I got genuinely scared and grossed out in this movie. There's a moment that's pretty gross that we can get into later, It's a good thriller. Like, it should have come out in October. Like, it should have been a Halloween movie, because it's a decently good thriller.
Yeah, I mean, it's like whenever people have been asking me after I saw it, like, what do you think of life? It's like, it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good. That's my main reaction. It's not bad by any means. It doesn't blow me away. If you've seen Alien
and Gravity,
and I think you put it best when we were talking about it earlier.
Yeah, it was like, it's Alien and Gravity mixed together,
and that's incredibly accurate.
Yeah.
But if you like, my point is, if you've seen Alien, you more or less understand the beats of this movie and like what's going to happen. It doesn't necessarily surprise you at any turns in terms of like what's gonna like the plot.
Yeah, there's no big twist.
Yeah,
like it doesn't turn out that the alien has been humanity this entire time. Like, that's not something that happens.
But I will say, like, the stuff that's good about, I liked the way that we are just dealing with scientists.
Yeah,
in this we're not dealing with like paramilitary people. I mean, there's a Jake Gyllenhaal plays a former military person, but that's just because a lot of NASA astronauts come from the military.
Planes, yeah.
Like, that's where they come from.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, it's not only is it a lot of scientists, but they use science to solve problems. Like, which is cool to see. Like, it's instead of just like the one guy who tries to use force to solve problems dies in a very horrific way very early on. And
yeah, that's within the that's pretty early, so I don't feel like it's too much of a spoiler.
No, but I think it's a bit of a spoiler in a Psycho kind of way. Yeah. But I think it's a solid science film and a solid thriller. It's nothing that's going to blow you away, but if you want to go see it, like, you're not going to be disappointed.
Yeah, and I will say one of the highlights is the creature design.
The creature design is really cool. It
was very unique. I haven't seen anything like this before.
Yeah.
In a great way. Like, it felt like this is an alternate a creature that could grow on another world.
Yeah.
And yes, it's very different from anything that we're used to.
But that's cool.
Scientifically. But yeah, that makes for good creature design. Like,
yeah.
It is completely alien in not only what it needs, but how it functions, how it moves, and how it thinks. Like, yeah. It is unique.
And the performances really help carry this movie. And I think the acting is super solid.
Yeah.
Like, everyone gives a really, really good performance, and that helps make it feel like a... It helps make the creature more scary, for sure.
Yeah, let's put up a spoiler wall just in case, like in case anyone is concerned.
Yeah.
That this would be spoiled. Like, as we said, there's not a lot that we can spoil
We can spoil the deaths,
but like, yeah, and that's the thing. So I want to, if you're concerned about that, if you do want to see this, I give it like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I give it around that too, 7.5, 7 out of 10.
Yeah, so like, if you're looking for something that's like fun, not too heady, but not too dumb either,
and like legitimately has some scary moments, yeah, and like is a fun thriller,
then check this out.
Yeah.
But if you have seen it, or you just want to hear us blab on about it,
yeah,
let's talk about it.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, this... the story... So, like, they find
the cell.
So I think that the way that the movie... Like, they didn't really go into the detail of, like, how this all, like, started.
Yeah.
It felt like they almost skipped some stuff, but then when I thought about it, I think that the idea is they discovered this organism on Mars when it was just, like, from the rover. Like, they found a frozen cell.
Yeah.
And that's what they launched up to space.
Yes.
Already knowing that it was in there.
Yes.
They don't really say that, but I think that's what they were
implying. I think that's yeah, because
they skip over the discovery.
Yeah, because the entire ship is kind of built around these firewalls, knowing that they're going to try and resurrect whatever this alien cell is.
Yeah.
Not knowing what it is. Like, they came planning to resurrect an alien, like a single-celled organism, and that's what the firewalls are made for.
Yeah, I wish that, like, it would have been a small thing. Like, it just, like, it took me out of it for a moment I was like, wait, is no one surprised that this thing is, like, life?
It could have taken, like, a text scroll at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Just, like, in 2019, we discovered single-celled organisms on life. This mission was launched to collect the soil data and see if they could resurrect those cells.
And something as simple as that would have just, like, it took me out of it that I had to think about that setup. But regardless, once we got started there...
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, really cool. They established all the characters. Like, I really liked Miranda North's, like, performance as the quarantine officer. She's like, my job is to make sure these firewalls stand, and that's it. Like, that's... And it was established really early, and it was really cool to see her kind of lose her job, basically, the entire time. I love that they killed Ryan Reynolds first. He's the big name.
Like, I sort of knew...
Same
like
here.
When him and Jake Gyllenhaal were both there.
Yeah.
I was like, one of you is going to be
the
last man standing, and one of you is going to die right away.
Yeah.
Because both of them could headline the movie on their own.
Yeah, so to put both of them in.
So, like, there's no way that both of them take a role where, like, well, I'm, like, the mid character. It's like, no, I had, like... 10 days,
yeah.
So I can do this movie,
yeah,
and get my name on the top of it, and they'll pay me. They probably like paid Ryan Reynolds just as much as he. Maybe not just as much, but they probably paid him a good amount.
We don't know when this was shot. Like, it could have been like before Deadpool. Before
even so, like, it's just
he could have gotten paid Dracula Blade 3 money.
But either way, like, you get to put Ryan Reynolds at the top. Even before Deadpool, he was still Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Like, and he only had to shoot for probably 2 weeks.
For sure. He also gets the best death, I think. It's the first death, and I think it's the best death.
Yeah.
I really like the fact that Calvin goes into him, and you, like, see him, like, going underneath his skin and, like, getting at his brain. I was like, that is really gross. It's a really gross death.
I will say, to the naming of it, to, like, naming it Calvin, like,
yeah.
I get it. Like, I get the naming. It is a trope that frustrates me to no end.
Yeah.
That, like, this gathering in Times Square to watch an event. No one does that anymore.
That hasn't happened.
Everyone
since, like, the
40s. Has phones. Like, the real version of that is everyone, even if they're in Times Square, they're not looking up. They're looking like this.
Yeah.
Like, okay, but the shoot with the kids, fine. It's just the crowd around them. I'm just like, no.
I liked it establishing that reality that, like, this is a big deal.
Yes.
And, like, that was really cool.
I think you could have done that with a series of quick, like, vignettes.
Yeah,
like, just,
on
like,
TVs
people,
and
everyone, like, just show
laptops.
Different walks of life. Like, you could show, like show the White House watching it, and then cut to, like,
children asking, like, them questions.
Some, like, a body shop in East LA,
sure,
like, watching it too. Like, those two, like, just, you can juxtapose those things, and now we'll get everyone's watching this.
Yeah.
But, like, the Times Square thing, just, like, from New York, that never happens
unless it's New Year's.
And they're not watching a screen; they're just looking at a big light ball in the sky.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I think, I thought Calvin, we were talking about creature design, I thought Calvin was really cool. I was kind of disappointed they gave him a face. I kind of liked it when he was just, like, this muscle and brain tissue that was just going around and just super strong and very smart. I thought he had a cool face, like, it was cool when that happened.
It was scary looking.
It was really freaky looking, but, I kind of was disappointed when they gave him a face. I thought it was cool when he was just, like, this little protozoan thing that was going around.
It's a cool, it's a cool design because of the science around, like, well, there's no, like, theoretically there could be cells that are capable of doing all of these different things.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't necessarily have things like smell receptors the same way, but using light and sound, and, like, it maybe that doesn't hear. But if it feels sound waves, it'll know what sound it is.
Well, yeah, and I like that he didn't have eyes until he needed eyes. Like, it didn't have eyes until there was a clear need for it.
Yeah.
And then...
So is it evolving, is the question.
I don't know. I think, yeah, it has to be.
Like, is it self-evolving to the situation?
Yeah.
So, like, this is something I'm curious in your opinion of. So this... This all takes place over the course of a day?
Yeah, something like
or
that.
Or so. This creature, Calvin, is pretty intelligent.
I mean, like, we see at the end he realizes that his space capsule is going into space, and he redirects it into Earth.
Yeah, I mean, like, so is this creature, like... Is, like, the knowledge, like, stored down to the cellular level, and basically that cell that they find still remembers whatever Mars was back in the day, and now it just, as soon as it was brought back, it, like, grew, it, like, hibernated intentionally to manipulate the situation?
I don't know if he hibernated intentionally. I think it did. Like, we found out that if there wasn't any oxygen, he would hibernate. Like, that's what they figured out, is that it needed oxygen. It needed an Earth-like atmosphere. And that's why it hibernated the first time. And that's why the cell was in hibernation as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it had cellular memory or if it was just incredibly smart. Like, just... To me... It was just incredibly smart.
And you're just figuring out. Well, like...
Like, when it goes and gets the prod and breaks it to make it sharp so that it can break out of the glove in Firewall 1 and 2, like that to me means it is learning and can learn incredibly quickly.
Yeah. I mean, that's... I guess that's possible.
Yeah.
that it, like, it just is picking up. But it's stuff like, and I wasn't sure that it intentionally redirected the ship at the end as much as it was just like trying to stop, like trying to eat him control him.
I think they have a couple shots where it shows him pulling his hand back and then pushing down on the joystick.
It was so quick. I didn't see it pushing down.
Yeah. And I think I think what it is implying, at least, is that's that it's Calvin, like, is redirecting it.
Yeah, stuff like that. Stuff like just the way it knows to, like, move for the vents and things like that.
Cutting off the captain's coolant so it leaks into her suit.
Yeah. That's why I think, like, it still remembers Mars, and when it maybe had technology of some kind. Yeah. Because that's just so specific. Like, there's a difference between being very intelligent and having knowledge of how these things work.
Sure.
Within such a small amount of time.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, a lot of times, like, it's not like it's mimicking. It, like, sees you open a door and then opens the door.
Yeah.
That would be just, like, recognition.
It does a lot of trial and error stuff. You see it, like, trying something and then, like, quickly moving. Like, Calvin moves super fast. Like, very fast. And also moves in a way that doesn't make sense, which we'll get to in what would Neil deGrasse Tyson say.
Oh, I have a bunch of stuff to say there.
Yeah. His way of motion throughout zero gravity doesn't make sense. That's fine. But he's very fast and, like, does a lot of trial and error stuff. Like, when he's, like, going around to, like, each of the exhaust points for the burners and, like, gets burned and, like, goes to the next one and gets burned and goes to the next one. Like, that's a lot of trial and error. Like, he's very curious, very quick to test things. I thought the story with Hugh Derry, the biologist, was really interesting.
Yeah, he was sent up. He's paralyzed from the waist down, it looks like. That's an interesting decision to send up an astronaut who does not have the use of his legs.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense, right? Like,
it doesn't. It doesn't. You don't need to walk.
Yeah.
In space. But you do need to be able to rappel to stop yourself from falling. And this is one of the things that, like, in terms of, like, just thinking, like, all right, well, how does NASA work? How does space design work? There were a few things in the movie that didn't land perfectly for me. There were, like, little leaps that they had to take, and I get why they had to take them for story purposes. Why don't we just ask the question now?
Okay.
Because we gotta ask, like, when we talk about science like this, we gotta ask ourselves, what would Neil deGrasse Tyson say?
WWMDTS.
Seeing is not believing.
I really want... we should make shirts at some point. WWNDTS. Now I really want to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, in this case, which point were we on?
We were talking about Hugh Derry, someone with
yes. If that's the case, like, for him to be paralyzed like that, like, I think the implication was that he was the only biologist who had the knowledge to deal with this specific thing.
Yeah,
and I would have just liked them to acknowledge that as a justification.
Sure.
Again, instead, like, I get the implication. Well,
they did say, Ryan Reynolds says, like, I know about five guys on Earth that can do my job. I only know one guy on Earth that can do your job, and you're him. Like, he says that, and he. Like, when he says,
says that, oh, I guess he is saying it about Earth.
Yeah, yeah. He's saying it to Hugh specifically, like, don't go taking chances. Like, I'm someone who they can replace here. You're someone that is irreplaceable.
I took that as, like, him, like, the other people on the crew can do my job.
Oh, no.
No one else here can do your job.
No, he said specifically on Earth.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just missed that part. Okay. Yeah. That point withdrawn.
Yeah.
Other science things.
Yeah.
If they have this insane firewall in place, there's no way that a fire prevention system is going to lead outside that firewall.
No. No, it would all be self-contained, for sure.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
On that first one.
Yeah.
Because a fire is exactly the situation where that would need to be sealed.
You would be able to eject the pod.
Yeah.
Like, easily. My two big science things were Calvin moves through zero gravity by self-propulsion. Like, he swims through zero gravity. And, like, that's not how it works. You need to be pushing off something. You can't, like, go into zero gravity and do this and move. You would just turn in space.
Well, wouldn't you...
There's nothing to push against.
Would the air provide... let's assume you're more aerodynamic than a human.
Yeah.
Let's say you put a bird in zero gravity.
I think
whose wings are more adept at, like, propelling with nothing but air. Would they be able to push through...
I guess it would be able to push against air. I don't think it would be able to do it the way Calvin was doing it, though. Like, I think it would be a very difficult thing to do. One thing I do like about this is there are multiple shots that they have that are upside down, and they just treat it normal, which was really cool.
They played a lot where, like, they would. I remember one shot specifically where we follow one crew member.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just as they climb down a ladder this way, and then they move into another room, and it just turns,
yeah.
And there is Hiroyuki Sanada
sitting
like sideways,
yeah,
at his station, and then the camera turns, yeah, to justify to what we're looking at,
yeah.
But like, it only throws you off for a moment, but that's space,
and it's really cool, and it kind of puts tension. The other big science thing is as soon as the capsule. At the very end, when the capsule lands on Earth, having gone through the atmosphere and burned up on the atmosphere, like, two fishermen go and touch the outside. And I was like, oh, his hands are grafted to the outside of this capsule now. It is super hot.
Yeah, it would be on fire.
You can't touch that.
Also, generally, aren't those, like, guidance systems... I guess it was hit, so, like, it's not following its trajectory anymore.
Yeah, he specifically overrode it.
Yeah.
That was part of that. The oxygen candles were a cool technology that they kind of invented for it, which I liked.
Yeah, that's not real.
No.
Correct?
Yeah, which are really cool. It looks like it was just chemical reactions that they had in a little candle that provided like 6 or 7 minutes of extra oxygen
If it's not real, maybe it's tech that's being designed and it's not perfected.
Yeah, and it was really cool to see, especially at the end when it was cold and they broke them open and you'd see, like, the gas coming out. Like, that was really cool.
Yeah. It was a cool design, and, like, I liked, the creature design around it.
Yeah. The creature design was really cool. I think it makes sense as far as a creature goes, especially a creature that needs to, like, exist in a space station. If he's evolving specifically for the space station, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, no bones, very octopus-like, can, like, fit in spaces that are smaller than itself.
Yeah.
Can exist in space for long periods of time.
That was interesting. And, like, the fact that it could survive with no air.
Yeah. For long periods of time, but still needed air.
Yeah,
I thought that was all really cool.
Yeah, we're sort of running low on time here.
Okay.
But just last thoughts, like, any favorite moments that stood out? Anything else we haven't touched on?
I think my favorite. I really liked that even in the middle of the horror thing, they gave time to, like, do character development with. Like, show the engineer, played by Hiroyuki Sanada, like, the thing with his kid and, like, all of that kind of stuff. Like, I think it's cool that they found, like we were saying before, I would have just watched a movie of this team doing science in space. And that was the movie. Like, everyone was super charismatic and all the characters were really interesting.
That's, I think, why this movie, why, like, I had a good time watching this, even though, like, it more or less, like, if you've seen Alien, you know the beats. Like,
yeah.
I said that earlier. But, like, that's... Like, I knew pretty much what was going to happen. Like,
yeah.
The twist at the end that, like,
ending.
He gets... That he crashes down to Earth. As soon as they hit the space debris,
yeah,
I pretty much was like, oh, okay, that's happening. And there was a moment when we're, like, sitting and waiting that I was like, oh, maybe it's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
But, like, I wasn't shocked when it was... When
Calvin
Jake Gyllenhaal
Earth.
Was there. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Like, they wouldn't just open that or be able to.
No, it's super hot.
And not to mention, like, I feel like you also couldn't just open that capsule. I feel like NASA has to open that capsule.
Yeah,
because even just going to space regularly, regardless of firewall protocols or quarantines, you're quarantined anyway.
Yeah,
when you're an astronaut, you come back down to Earth, like, you are quarantined.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think anyone but NASA would be able to open that capsule.
Yeah, or maybe Jake Gyllenhaal from the inside. Like, maybe. There might be, like, an emergency thing it's, like...
But not just, like, a fisherman who finds the capsule.
No, and has heat-proof hands.
Yeah.
He's a superhero, and we don't acknowledge it. His hands are fireproof.
Yeah. there was little things in the writing that were well placed, like Ryan Reynolds talking about his dog,
sure.
Jake Gyllenhaal talking about his time in Syria,
the
war, like little things like that made us care about these people. And Hiroyuki Sanada and his daughter, like, we cared about these people as people first, and then what they did.
Yeah.
And that's what makes for a good movie. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week, Sci-Fi Weekly.
All right.
Next week, we are unfortunately going to be off.
Yeah.
But we will, I believe, be talking about Ghost in the Shell
the next
when
time.
We get back.
Are you familiar with the anime at all?
I'm actually not.
Neither am I. So I'm going to spend a week watching anime.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can get somebody in here who does know the show and can talk and speak to that angle because it's very obviously there's a lot of controversy around it so a lot of people are going in like ready for it to be bad, and that's always a bad place to be when you're starting a movie.
For my sci-fi moment of the week, this kind of fills in it. My friend Heather Ann Campbell is a huge anime nerd, and she held a party where we watched every episode and the movies of Neon Genesis Evangelion, which is an anime that completely blew my mind. Like, absolutely an amazing experience. If you like science fiction, if you like philosophy, if you like kind of weird art stuff, I cannot recommend the TV show and the movies enough. They're really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my sci-fi moment of the week.
Cool. I don't know what mine would be, because life was, like, the main thing that I watched this week. So I just talked about it a lot.
Yeah, there you go.
But thank you guys so much for joining us. If you want to keep up with me throughout the week, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Also, be sure to check out the Grimm After Show. If you're following the show, it's the last two episodes. We're reviewing the second to last one right just a few minutes on AfterBuzz TV. If you're watching us live, or if not, just go check the VOD. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back, not this week, but next week.
Come on, guys.
So Jesse and I will be talking about the rest of season four every week as that show comes out.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. You can also see me Tuesday here talking about Iron Fist.
I'm
on the Iron Fist panel. You're on the Black Hollywood Live.
Yeah, our sister. We're doing two different after shows here at the company. So the Black Hollywood Live, I hosted it with Joel Monique, Andrew Mena, and Rick Hong. So you can watch that. We binged the hell out of it, and we've already done the after shows for the entire season.
Well, look for it.
We are just like, we got it through sleep.
We're going through it weekly. So if you want to see live reactions, go with me, and if you want to see huge binge reactions, go with Zach.
Watch us both. Check it both out. It's fun. Alright guys, this has been Sci-Fi Weekly, the show where we're just one lab coat away from being real scientists.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.